This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du. My brothers and sisters, we continue with the story of Badr. We are spending a lot of time on this because it's such an important story and so much and such a pivotal and critical part of the history of Islam and the Muslims. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, in Badr, he suggested that a trellis, a kind of a shade, be built for Rasulullah to function as a so-called, you know, as like a headquarters. I mean, headquarters and so on is like big terms, but so this was a small battle by any military standards, but of very great significance by historical standards. So that's the thing about Badr. So he suggested that a trellis should be built for Rasulullah so he has some shade to, you know, to stand on. To sort of rest under in the sun and so on and so forth. And as some sort of, you know, protection from the weather. Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he suggested this, then he began to justify his proposal and he said that if they were victorious, then everything is fine. But if they were defeated, Rasulullah would not be harmed and he could go back to Medina where there were more people who loved him and who would have come for help, who would have come to help him if they had known that he was in that difficult position. So that, and then he would, he could then resume his work of Da'wat al-Islam and, you know, consult with those people and so on and so forth. There was no sort of need for the justification, but, you know, these people are trying to be to be as protective of Rasulullah as they could. They chose a squad of guards also from among the Ansar under the leadership of Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, in order to defend Rasulullah in his where he was stationed, so like a personal guard for him. Rasulullah spent the preceding day of the battle in Salah and in Dua, the whole day. The Muslim army, which was tired after the long march, they slept peacefully, and this was a mark of divine favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of the state of their undisturbed minds. These were not people who were worried and who were, you know, concerned what will happen to us and so on. These were people at peace, and this shows the position of the Muslim who has tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he doesn't allow anything to bother him and to trouble him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, is yughashshikumun nu'asa amanatan minhu wa yunazzilu alaykum minas samaa'i ma'an liyutahhirakum bihi wa yudhhiba ankum rijzash shaytani wa liyarbita ala qulubikum wa yuthabbita bihi al-aqdam. Allah said, remember when he jalla jalaluhu, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered you with a slumber as a security from him, and he caused rain to descend on you from the sky to clean you thereby and to remove from you the ridges, the whispering of shaitan, and to strengthen your hearts and to make your feet firm thereby. Now, this is something that I mentioned to you in the last lecture also. Also of the fact that this rain, when it fell, it had a different effect when it fell on the Muslims, and it had a different effect when it fell on their enemies. That was Friday night. So Ramadan the 17th, and the year was 2 Hijri, 2 AH. In the morning, Rasulullah, which would be the 18th of Ramadan, called his people for Salah. And after Salatul Fajr, Rasulullah gave a khutbah, inspiring them and urging them to fight with great bravery for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the sun rose over the desert, Rasulullah drew up his little army and he pointed with an arrow, he arranged the ranks. The Quraysh, on the other hand, they positioned their forces in Al-Udwatul Quswa, opposite the Muslim lines. Now, a few of them approached in a provocative manner to draw water from the wells of Badr, but they were all shot dead, except one, Hakim bin Hizam, who later became a devoted Muslim. Umar bin Wahab al-Jumahi, in an attempt to recon the power of the Muslims, he made a scouting errand and he submitted a report that the Muslim army was about 300 men, keen on fighting to the last man. So they said, he told them, they are small in number, but they are extremely highly motivated. So that was his report. On another recon mission, he came to the conclusion that neither reinforcements would come, nor were ambushes being laid. He understood that they were too brave to surrender and too intent on carrying out fighting. So, you know, they were in it to the last man, and they were not going to go away, and they were not going to surrender or just disappear. Now, this report, as well as the family relations binding the two opposing parties together, slackened the desire to fight among some of the Quraysh. Now, there were people who were closely related, brothers, father and son, things like that on either side. So people were not keen to fight. The Quraysh said, look, we are killing our own relatives. And especially in tribal societies and in those times as well, even today, family relations are a very, very important thing and people don't take them lightly. So they said, look, this is serious. I mean, we can't just kill our own people. But Utbah bin Rabia and others, they told Abu Jahl that he better start, arousing his people. So he gave the speech and he manipulated people to remain there and to fight. Now, when the two parties, the two armies, they moved closer together and they became visible to each other, Rasulullah started making dua. He said, Allah, O Allah, the conceited and haughty, the proud and arrogant Quraysh are already here defying you, and they are denying and belying your messenger. O Allah, I am waiting for your victory, which you promised me. I beseech you, I beg you, Ya Allah, to defeat the enemies. He also gave strict orders that his men would not start fighting until he gave them his final word. So he said, they will not attack, nobody will shoot anything, no arrows, nothing, until he said. He recommended that they use their arrows sparingly and never resort to the sword until the enemies came too close. Now, Abu Jahl also prayed for victory and he said, O our Lord, whichever of the two parties was less kind to his relatives and brought us what we do not know, then destroy him tomorrow. Now it's Subhan Rajiv. He made his dua, literally he made the dua against himself. But this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. Now, Quraysh were confident that their superior number, their armor, their equipment, their experience would be decisive. the Quran al-Kareem with a play on the word told them that the decision had to come and the victory, but not in the sense that they had hoped for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن تستفتحوا فقد جاءكم الفتح وإن تنتهوا فهو خير لكم وإن تعودوا نعود ولن تغني عنكم فئتكم شيئا ولو كثرت وأن الله مع المؤمنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O disbelievers, and he's talking, he's addressing the Quraysh, he said, if you ask for a judgment, now the judgment has come to you. And if you cease to do wrong, it will be better for you. But if you return to the attack, so shall we return. And your forces will be of no avail to you. Your forces will not help you, however numerous that may be. And verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the believers. Now, this is a very important thing to understand here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to them that the judgment is come to you, and if you want to accept it, this is good for you, and if you don't want to accept it, then this judgment is going to be against you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all your power and so on and so forth which you think you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, none of that will be of any use to you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the believers. So none of your power and anything else is going to help you. You are going to lose. The first of the Quraysh to trigger the battle and to become its first victim was Al-Aswad bin Abdul Asad Al-Makhzumi, who was a very fierce and a very bad-tempered person. He stepped out from the ranks and he said he would drink from the water basin, which is where the Muslim collected water. He would drink from that, or otherwise he would destroy it or die for it. Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu met him, and with the first blow of his sword he cut off his leg, and the next blow he killed him. So the battle had actually started. Now there was a custom of the time, and this happened in many places, in many battles, and all the way to medieval times and even later, which is the custom of individual, personal, one-on-one duels. Now, there was a very strong psychological reason for that. Both armies would send forward their champions. In the Quran and also in the Bible, the story of David and Goliath, Dawud alayhi salam and Jalut, is a similar story, where the Pharisees, they sent out Goliath, who was their greatest and biggest warrior, massive big man in armor, fully clad in armor with his sword and so on and spear. And facing him was Dawud alayhi salam, shepherd boy with a sling. Now that's a separate story altogether, and if you, those of you who are interested, I have done I think 2 lectures on this. On the story of David and Goliath, Dawud alayhi salam and Jalut. But this is one of those things where the champion from here and champion from there would fight. The idea was that if you could kill the champion of the opposite army, then obviously that would have a huge psychological impact on the army, because you just kill their best person, their biggest warrior, and psychologically it was a huge blow. It would be a huge blow to the other army. So they tried to do that. This was the reason why it was done. So here Utbah bin Rabi'ah, he stepped forth between his brother Shaybah and his son Al-Walid bin Utbah from the lines of the Quraysh. So there were three of them, Utba bin Rabia with his two, with his brother and his son. Three young men from the Ansar, they came, they stood against them, that is Auf and Mu'ad, the sons of Harith, and Abdullah bin Rawaha, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. But the Makkans yelled, and they said, "We have nothing to do with the Ansar." They said, "We do not have any quarrel with the Ansar, with the people of Medina. Our problem is with our own people from Makkah, the Muhajirun, so we will not fight the people of Makkah. They are people of Medina." So they wanted the heads of their cousins. Upon this, Rasulullah asked Ubaidah bin Harith, his uncle Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, and his cousin Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhum to go and fight. The three duels were rapid. Hamza radiallahu anhum killed Shayba, while Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhum killed Al-Walid. Ubaidah was seriously wounded, but before he fell, Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was seriously wounded, but before he fell, Hamza fell upon Utba, and with a sweep of his sword, he cut off his head. So Ali and Hamza radiallahu anhuma carried Ubaidah radiallahu anhu back with his leg, which had been severed, and he died 4 or 5 days later, and he was the first Shaheed of Badr. This was the, so basically, but if, as far as that war, as far as the duels were concerned, this one, this was decisive in the sense that the Muslims, they killed all the three of their enemies. Now this duel was followed by a few more duels, but the Makkans suffered total defeats in all the combats, and they lost some of their most precious warriors. So Rasulullah ﷺ continuously prayed ceaselessly for help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, "O Allah, should this group of Muslims be defeated today, there will be nobody left to worship you on the earth." He continued to call out to his Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu, standing like this, raising his hands and facing the Qibla until his cloak dropped off his shoulders. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, he picked up the cloak, he put it back on his shoulders, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, you have called out enough to your Rabb." He said, "Bas, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely fulfill and give you what he promised you." Now this is the comfort that the friend is giving to his friend. Now this does not mean that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in any doubt about Allah's promise. It's just to let us know and understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise to his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was true, and it would, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give him what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to give him. The response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was immediate, and he sent his malaika from the heavens to help and for the assistance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two beautiful ayat of Surah Al-Anfal, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِسْتَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. Remember, when you asked help of your Rabb, he answered you saying, "I will help you with 1,000 angels, each behind the other, following each other in succession." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Iz yuhi rabbuka ilal malaikati anni ma'akum fathabbitu alladhina amanu faulqi fi qulubi alladhina kafaru ru'ba fadribu fawqa al-a'naqi وَضْرِبُوا مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ بَنَانِ. Allah said, remember when your Rabb inspired the angels, verily I am with you. So keep firm those who have believed. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who have disbelieved. So strike over their necks and smite over all their fingers and toes. Now, these are ayat revealed in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now think about this. How many angels does it take to completely destroy this world and all the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to destroy before on the day of judgment, and then to resurrect the human beings and jinn to answer to him? What does it take? How many angels or what force does it take to destroy everything? It just takes one angel, Israfil alayhi salam, and what will he do? He will just blow the sur once, the trumpet once, just he'll say, whoo, it's gone. Everything's finished. Just one angel. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to help the Muslims? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I will send you 1,000 angels. This is the bakar, this is the izzah, this is the prestige of the Rasul alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will send you 1,000 angels because this is to honor his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's no need for 1,000 angels. It is only to honor the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something which we must really, you know, think about. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he dozed off a little and then he raised his hand and he raised his head and he said, Abu Bakr, he called him, he said, glad tidings for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's victory has approached. By Allah, I can see Jibreel on his mare in the thick of a sandstorm. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then jumped up and he said the famous ayat of Surah Al-Qamar, سَيُزْحَمُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّونَ الدُّبُرُ. Their multitude will be put to flight and they will show their backs. Yeah? This is showing the back in battle was considered to be, and of course it is, one of the worst things that anybody could do. And that was something that, no soldier of any kind in those days would think about that. But think about doing that. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying here, this is what happened to them. And then Jibreel alayhi salam said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him to pick up a handful of gravel and sand and throw it towards the enemy. And he said, confusion seized their faces. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took this sand and threw it. And as he flung the dust, the sand, a violent sandstorm blew like a furnace blast into the eyes of the enemies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that also in Surah Al-Anfal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى وَلِيُبْلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْهُ بَلَاءً حَسَنًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. You did not kill them, but Allah killed them. And you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not throw. When you did throw, but Allah threw. Allah said that this is when you threw it, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was throwing it and he made it happen, that he might test the believers by a fair trial from him. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearer and all knower. This is the... And then when that happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave... He ordered the Muslims to launch a counter-attack. So they were, until then they were being held back. So he commanded the army, inspiring confidence among his men and exhorting them to fight manfully for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned again in the Quran, this is the beauty of the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these things and he tells us these things, everything is Allah is witness to this, and this is what is happening. So Allah said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah said, and march forth, and run and race towards the forgiveness of your Rabb. And for Jannah, as wide as are the heavens and the earth, prepared for al-muttaqoon, for prepared for people who are concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, the heaven which you will be given is bigger than the heavens and the earth. And the spirit that he infused into his men, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was witnessed by the valor of Umair, who was a young lad of 16, who was eating some dates, and he threw this away and he said, these dates are holding me back from paradise, from Jannah. And so he plunged into the battle and he fought and fought bravely, and he was shaheed, was martyred. Now, unique deeds of valor and deep devotion and full obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were exhibited in the process of this battle. The army of the believers was borne forward by the power of their enthusiasm and their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which the Quraysh were really half-hearted. Many of them didn't even want to fight, and they were there for hatred, whereas the Muslims were there for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a lot of the Quraysh and the other enemies of the Muslims, but they were killed, and over 70 of them were killed, and the others, they began to waver. The record in hadith, there are many hadith about the angels who fought by the side of the Muslims. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, while on that day a Muslim was chasing a disbeliever and he heard over him the whiplash, sound of a whiplash, and the voice of the rider saying, go ahead, Hazum. Hazum was the name of the rider's horse. And he said, the Muslim looked at suddenly saw this enemy soldier, and he found him beheaded, and he was fallen on his back, minus his head. One of the Ansar, he came to Isa Sallam and he narrated his incident. He said, Rasulullah, this is what happened. I was, chasing a man, and then enemy soldier, and then I heard this sound of a whiplash and his head flew off. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, you have spoken the truth. This was the help from the third heaven. One of the Ansar, he captured Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, and who said, Abbas radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, by Allah, this man did not capture me. I was captured by a man with a shaven head and the most handsome face, and he was riding a piebald horse. I cannot see him among the people. The Ansari interrupted and he said, no, I captured him. Rasulullah said, be quiet. By Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened you with the help of a noble angel. So this is what Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib was one of the, he was a Muslim eventually, of course he was one of the best of the Muslims, but at that time he was still, his Islam was not apparent, and he had come to fight, so he was effectively among the enemies of Islam. So he got captured. Iblis, in the guise of Suraqa bin Malik, bin Jusham al-Mudlaji, on seeing the angels working in favor of the Muslims, fighting with the Muslims, he and the Quraysh rapidly losing ground, he ran away. And even though the people he promised his help to, they pled with him, they pleaded with him and said, please stay on, but he ran away. Very quickly, the ranks of the Quraysh began to give way, their numbers only made it more confusing. The Muslims followed, they took captives, and they killed some more of them, and retreat turned into a it turned into a absolute rout, and they ran. The Quraysh ran. They abandoned their armor, their beasts, their animals, the camp, and the equipage, and everything else. Abu Jahl, the great tyrant, on seeing the adverse course of the battle, tried to stop the tidal wave of the Islamic victory by yelling at his soldiers and encouraging them by all means, and begging them in the name of Allah and Uzza, their idols and gods, to stand firm and to fight the Muslims. But morale had already been destroyed and lines were broken, and so they, all of them, ran away. Inshallah, more in the next class. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to study the seerah of Rasulullah and to learn lessons from it. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.